Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
How wonderful He is. Lord, we love You so much. I thank You for the time to worship, connect deeper in Your presence. I love how Your waters wash over us and just wash away the debris from the world. I love how You love us so much that we can come anytime boldly into the throne of grace and receive everything You have for us. There's no other name You can call out in the middle of the night, and He'll be there. Jesus, help me. And there's the connection. What a wonderful, marvelous gift He is to us. But yet we're a gift to Him. I love the simplicity of His message. I love His truth. And I love when I start thinking too hard on something, He just gently corrals me back in, a little sheep back in. There's nothing too big for Him. Nothing. There's nothing too great. Because He is. He is. He is the great one. And His heart's desire is for us to grow in relationship and fellowship with Him. Like a friend. Like a brother. And so as we come together tonight, I pray that we connect with Him and in Him in such a way that the things of this world will no longer get a hold of us, that we won't be swayed to or from any situations or bad reports, that He's our anchor, and that we can cling to Him like saran wrap, just jump right into Him, and He'll protect us from everything. Everything. There's nothing. Disease, nothing. He conquered it all at the cross. There's nothing that's too big for Him. And so I'm going to ask us to stretch our minds tonight and our hearts to see the goodness of God, and that everything is really going to be okay. It really is going to be okay. Some of you have low bank accounts. It's going to be okay. He does take care of us. He measures differently than we do. And He's actually challenging us to use His measuring system. Seed, time, harvest. And I'm not taking an offering right now. I'm just telling you, that's His system that helps us grow in every area, not just finances. Faith a little weak, get in the Word. Seed, time, pow, harvest. Let grow. There it is. Hallelujah. I'm gonna just back off for a little second. I know some of you guys weren't here last week, but hey, class, you did get homework. Do you remember your assignment? I forgot all about it until you reminded me in the worship tonight. Do you remember the assignment? Okay, do you remember last week we talked about resting in the presence and how to still our minds? Did anybody do that? Okay, how did it work for you? Did you have struggles? Were you victorious right away?
I just kept thinking all week as I was pressing in about your story of the time that you stumbled in to rest when you were praying in the Spirit. And so I was pulling on that testimony as I kept telling my mind to be quiet.
Did your mind obey?
No, it's not very obedient.
Did you have to get the stick out? No, kidding.
How do you do that?
Yes?
They given me some stuff for rummage sale like a month or two ago, and there was a little pillow in there, a pillowcase. And it said, rest in Him. And I kept it because I wanted to remind me every day, and it does.
That's good. Yeah. Amen. Anybody else? You had to work at it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too. Me too.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're in, and sometimes you're like, you know, chasing moths, you know. fireflies, whatever, you know. You know, let's be honest. Can we be honest about it? Yes, yes.
As a musician, I found that it was easier for me to approach his presence when the music was turned off, because I was hearing this and that, and oh my gosh, they did a modulation there. Did you hear that lick? That was wonderful. You know, how would I do that? Just shut the music off and just listen to him.
I can relate in a different way sometimes when I'm resting in his presence, I'll get a great message and I'll start preaching it to him. And he's like, I know, I'm giving it to you. You know, but I know what you mean. It's the same thing. It's like, you know, it's absolutely. Who else? Yes, yes.
I don't know if it counts, but I picked berries and he talked to me while I was picking berries.
Awesome. That's wonderful.
It counts.
It totally counts. You get the A. The A A A A A A. That a girl. A A A A A. Awesome. You get the awesome award. Who else? Mary, you got anything tonight?
Well, you know, I did practice, and it is. It's like different. But see, like I tried the same way the next day, and it did not work the same way the next day. Yeah. It was interesting. Yeah. And yeah, I'd hit the roof, and then it would open, and then it was like for a second, you know. So, and then I tried to do that again and it didn't work. But it was in a different way, which was very cool. So yeah, just different. You know, we make these assumptions that it's going to be the same if we do the same thing and the same place and, you know, like the same song or whatever. And it's not. He's so different every day. It's like
yeah.
New manna. And it's like we got to get out of our minds to get what he's trying to show us. Yeah.
That's good. No leftovers from Jesus. Who else? Anybody else? Yes, yes?
I wasn't even trying, but when I sometimes I just like to do my job alone and not have people to work for me. So today it was my son's birthday, so him and his girlfriend took off. So it was like I shouldn't have got as much done as I did. You know, I should have needed them to get all that done, but he's like, no, you're just overthinking that spot. You do it like this, and so
he coaches you.
Yeah, so I wasn't even gonna do those spots because they were kind of dangerous, and I needed the help. He's like, no, you're just overthinking that, and that's how you do it.
I love it. I love it. That's awesome. Yes, yes.
And I just share a verse from what he said. This is from the English Standard Version, Hebrews 4:11. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest.
Yeah. Period. Exclamation point. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Amen. Well, I'm happy to hear that people are pressing in and so y'all get advanced to the next row. Whatever that is, I don't know. Amen. Anybody have any questions from last week? I know we kind of went in a different area that we usually go, you know, but I felt like everything that was released was really important for our growth and development in him and for the season that we're in. No questions? Okay. All right. I didn't want to, because I don't want anybody, you know, it was like a heavy meal last week, so I don't want anybody to you know, be trying to figure things out or I didn't want confusion or anything like that either. So we're good to go? Okay. Part two. So, you know, he's so marvelous. Hold on. Okay. He's so marvelous. You know, I really have no message for tonight. I never really do. But when I was worshiping him, he reminded me of the questions that I asked him. And I want to ask you guys, do you ask him questions and expect him to answer? Yeah, I like to sit like I'm, like I would be sitting here right now. Like if something came across the news, or you know, a piece of mail, or maybe somebody said something, or a teaching I heard, and you know, sometimes I don't ask them at that moment, but later I'll be like, you know, I'm starting to see a theme here. What's going on? And I saw a theme come across last week. And I was actually just sitting, resting in him, and I'm like, you know, I'm seeing this theme, and I don't care. Let me just say this. I don't really have an opinion about, I got to say this gently. I don't really care what other people are doing or thinking or preaching, as long as it lines up with the Word of God, okay? And so if a preacher says something I don't agree with, I don't argue with them, because I don't know everything. And so, but if I start to hear something, sometimes it's the Lord trying to get me to ask questions. And so I think it was 2 weeks ago I started to hear a theme from people giving their opinions about what a minister said. And I don't even care about stuff like that, because most of it's junk. You know, if you Google any good ministry that's moving in the power and love of Jesus Christ, there will be many critics out there. Their job is to sow seeds of destruction at that ministry. So be careful what you're Googling and looking up online, because not all of it's true. And so I know that shocks you, doesn't it? I'm not going to go into what was, well, I might have to in order for this message to come out, but what happened was I was sitting with the Lord and I said, what do you say about this? You know, some ministers saying blah, blah, blah about sowing, and people are like blah, blah, blah about what this minister's saying now. And I'm like, I don't even care. But what happened was he caused it to come in front of my face. And so when he does that, I know he wants me, he's trying to get my attention. And so I say this because, could this be happening to you? Is there something you don't want to deal with because you just don't care, but the Lord wants you to deal with it? I mean, I've had that happen, and I'm not the fastest to admit it. You know, I don't like to read stuff that is going to cause anybody to stumble, and so I don't, you know, I stay away from conspiracy theories and all that stuff, and anything with scary music, I learned to not even open anymore. It took a while, and so, you know, when I started hearing about some minister who's no longer blah, blah, and I was like, what are you saying about this, Lord? And he told me, be careful. Because sometimes when something gets released by a prophetic person, it could be the Lord or it could be the enemy using that person, but it can sway the atmosphere. It could sway the course of direction based on who gets behind what and pushes it through. Did you hear what so-and-so said about so-and-so? Seeds, seeds, seeds. Or, hey, Lord, what are you saying about this? And then you proclaim what the Lord tells you to say. See, sometimes the Lord, I know this is a little hard, but sometimes the Lord will use us to break the seeds of destruction that the enemy is sowing to put the ship back on course. And so, I'll get you in a minute. And so, with this situation, the pattern was people started talking about it. When people start talking about it, now listen, because we're the people, okay? When people start talking about it, it's now their opinion. Okay? And so, this is what the Lord told me. I voice text this. I like to voice text when he talks. I say what he says. And I was wondering what was going on in the spirit, the mechanics of things. That's what I pay attention to. One of my jobs is to watch what's going on in the spirit and deal with it by the spirit. And most people are clueless that they're even being used by the spirit, whether it's God or an enemy spirit. And so I said, I see division in people taking sides regarding this issue. And whenever people take sides, there is that's discord. There is discord. And whenever there's discord, that's the handprint of the enemy, okay? Regardless if you think you're doing it for the cross or whatever. When you're sowing discord, when you're sowing your opinion, you are now in the flesh. So the issue is really, have we given all to Jesus? And that's what he said to me. The issue isn't your opinion or their opinion. It's, have they given me their all? That's the issue. And if we have, I've got good news. And this is what he said, meaning, have we sowed ourselves into the kingdom of God, or, hold on, for him to do with as he wills, are we a living sacrifice according to Romans 12, 1 and 2? And so, I'm going to read Romans 12, 1 and 2 quickly, and then I want to go back to my notes and talk about this, because if we can recognize what the Lord is doing and wants us to do, you know, we're agents of the kingdom of God. We're ambassadors of Christ. We are set here. We have positions that we uphold through him that, you know, he gets to move through us and bring victory to the broken and the lost and the corrupt and the blind and the lame. But if we are blocking the flow of the Spirit because of an opinion we have regarding a doctrinal issue, first of all, is it really doctrinal, you know, or is it a man-made rule that you learned a long time ago, you know? And you know, one of them, I'll just throw this out here right now, you know, the great one now, and see, this is the pattern I'm seeing. When I see a pattern, I know, I always am like, show me the mechanics behind it, because I like to see, it's like scientific, you know, I like to see the mechanics of how things are working, and the latest push. So the thing I started to see the mechanics in the Spirit, and I feel like this is a now word for us. And it's interesting because it has to do with tithing. Oh. Some of you are like, and some of you are like, here, have it all, because I'm all his. Here's the thing. I started to notice that people are coming out against tithing and speaking against it. And I thought, isn't that interesting at this time in the world that this is also being sown, spoke into against the kingdom of God? They're against it, by the way, if you wondered. And I don't care what people think about that. I'm like, Lord, what do you say about this? What's going on? And I'm going to read these scriptures, but I'm preaching ahead of my notes. So this is what he said, the great divide. This has been going on since the fall of Adam and Eve. Be careful not to get caught up in judgment of others. A kingdom principle is given. It shall be given back to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, overflowing from your belly, it shall be. If we're caught up watching what others are doing or being opinionated, we are really separating ourselves from the love of Christ. He said this. I didn't say it. Christ reconciled us from the debt, from death. Whoa. Let me say that again. Christ reconciled us from debt and death. And then, if we do everything under Jesus, there is no motive of self or pleasure of self, and he rewards those who diligently seek him when we seek him with all our hearts. The world system says, take care of yourselves first. God's system says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which is his way of doing things. And then all these things, there's like a sentence missing there, will be given back to you, is basically how it goes. So do you understand right now where we are in the world system versus the kingdom of God system? We are a blessed nation. We are a blessed people. We belong to him. He bought and paid for us with his blood. Now, the great divide is upon us. And I'm not here to say tithe or not tithe. What I am here to say is Romans 12, 1 and 2, because that's what he told me. So let me open up my app again. I'm using technology tonight. Okay, this is from the New Living Translation. A living sacrifice to God. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Did you hear that? I thought it was with songs. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That's good stuff. I love when he gives me like a map straight in to what he's talking about. So I'm asking him these questions about what, and he's like, Romans 12, 1 and 2, a living sacrifice. Here's the thing. If we're struggling, have we really laid ourselves down on the altar? Are we still trying to breathe life back into that fleshly, earthly thing, which is really corrupt? Anything born of the Spirit is pure and holy. Anything born of the flesh has got corruption. It's just the way the system works. And so we can redeem, which is another story. But I want to go back in here because I want us to be careful of how we speak and make sure we are not judging from the flesh, but ruling and reigning from the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. Because we all have opinions, and we've all been trained certain things. You know, whether who's ever teaching you sat under, chances are that's dripped into your mind and will and emotions, okay? So it's going to come out of your heart because it's steeped in there. So if it's a false teaching, you're going to have, you know, speaking some corruption. But what if you don't know the difference? Here's the key, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Present yourselves living sacrifices. Well, how do you do that? What does that mean? Do I light myself on fire? No, no. You lay down and yield to the presence of Jesus Christ as King and Savior and Lord of all things. And you lower yourself, subjugate, you put yourself underneath his dominion. And you let your opinions mean nothing. Well, wait, didn't God give me a mind? Yes, he did. But he is superior to your mind and knows all things. In fact, you can connect with the mind of Christ when you're in the Spirit. So some of you are struggling because you have not yielded that area to lordship. And because you haven't, you're struggling. That's a principle, a kingdom principle. You will have that. And so, you know, Paul is begging us to lay it down, let God be God, and let him lead us and guide us in all ways. And when we do that, we will walk in victory. And here's the thing, at first you start to monitor in the natural. Well, this doesn't feel like victory, this doesn't look like victory, but you're measuring it against a false system, a natural system, which is full of corruption. But if you keep yielding and doing what the Spirit says to do, there will be, because seed, 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 time, 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 stretch, and then all of a sudden, resurrection power, life, fullness, victory, joy. And so the scheme of the enemy is to cause division. Are you a tither? Oh, you're not? Oh, I can't hang out with you. Oh, you don't Sabbath? You don't do, you? Oh, pork? You eat pork? Listen, be careful of what you're tripping up on. And when you're tripping, are you showing the love of Christ or are you showing condemnation and rules and bondage? You know, the scripture's very clear on a couple things. I got taken out because did our sound just change? I'm a sound person, so I just caught that, and we're working on some stuff. And I was going to pull the mic in, but I know he's doing stuff, so now he's got to cut. So I'll pause so it's easier to find. Okay. So here's the thing. The Bible talks about, you know, I'm paraphrasing. This is a terrible paraphrase, but when in Rome, do what the Romans are doing. And I don't mean that like, you know, when you're in the bar, do what the people in the bar are doing. What I mean by that is, if somebody invites you over and you're a witness of Jesus Christ and you go, excuse me, I'm not eating that. I don't think Jesus would do that. I think he would have probably washed the feet of the person that's serving him, and I think he would have, you know, showed compassion and love and not judgment. And so One of the things that we're known for, Christians, is judgment. We judge those that do not. And I don't believe that's how Christ lived. And I don't believe that's how he wants us to live. He wants us to be alive and full of joy and live as a burning sacrifice, which means always dying to our ideas, but smelling pleasant and beautiful in the spirit. And so, you know, I think there's been enough of this. Let's dress ourselves up and look all holy. And maybe if we stink because we've been hanging out in the bars, we just spray a little cologne on us and hope nobody notices. Listen, that's nothing to do with what God sent his son for. We've been redeemed from all sin and corruption. And if you're looking at whether you performed good this day and didn't this day, you're stumbling, and that's not a good place to be because you're looking and judging in the flesh. And then if you look there, you're going to stay there. And then you're going to beat yourself up when you can't get out of that. Listen, grace. We can't do it without him. But yet sometimes we try. I battle this myself. You know, I'm going to do this great thing, and next thing you know, wait, what was that? Where's the note you gave me on that, Lord? You know, he doesn't judge me like I judge me. Now, it doesn't give me a license to blow it all the time. I try to live a holy life, but I know who I am. And I'll never be perfect. I know that. But in him, I'm always perfect. And I'd rather live in him than try to perform for him. And we have too many people performing for him and acting like they're living in him, and they're not. And here's what's coming. There is a storm coming. I'm telling you, the winds are blowing, and we're seeing it all the time. We're seeing people get shook. Shaking is good. It shows us what issues we have that we need to deal with that maybe we didn't know we had to deal with. And so shake, shake, shake. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm looking at myself, okay? So something's shaking. Our tendency is to, you know, put a tarp on and deal with it later or, you know, hope nobody notices it. Listen, the easier way is, Lord, help me. I don't know what to do, but I know you do, and I believe you're going to show me. And I'm just going to leave it at that. Faith is a child. Okay, I know right now some people in here are struggling with that foul spirit of slumber. So right now, everybody just whoosha, whoosha, whoosha. Shake that thing out of yourself. Command it to go. Loose it off. Thank you, Jesus. Seeds. I want all the seeds that the Lord has and no enemy has taken them. Okay. So, you know, the world system says take care of yourself, and God's already taken care of us. So some of us need to click out of the world system and go, you know what? I'm done trying this. I'm going to make a choice to believe God and his word, even though I don't know everything about it, but I'm going to believe he's good, and I'm going to believe I can trust you, Lord, and just step back and release whatever it is that you're holding on to. I'm watching it happen. Thank you, Lord. Philippians 4:19, my God will liberally, that means like think of the car wash, scrubby, 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 bubbles flowing everywhere, supply every need according to his riches, not yours, his. Isn't that the better way? His. It's all his. Everything we have is him, is his. We have to learn that we are stewards on earth. We steward the resources, and the measure we use, well, it gets measured back to us. And so, you know, if we are in fear or start to, like, pay attention to... Now, listen, I'm not against planning a good vacation or planning a good whatever, but... planning a good Bible study, planning something. But if we plan it to the point where we're not asking him about it, we're in the flesh and we're driving, and you can feel the difference. I want you guys to know the difference when you're pushing something through out of fear or expectation or determination versus resting in the peace and love of God, which surpasses all understanding. It really does. And you just move and are in him and you actually know all things, at that moment of everything you need to know. It's wonderful. And that's not just occasionally. That's all the time. That's for all of us all the time. And so I feel like there's this like shaking, you know, and some of you are like, oh, you know, I've been trying to hold this stuff together. Do you mean I'm supposed to let it go? I'm saying sit with God and let him tell you what to do. I'm not telling you to let it go. I'm telling you go to God. And when you go to God, some of it will fall away and some of it will get put in right order. And we don't know how, it just does. It's kind of like the corn. You know, you put the seed in, is it growing? Is it growing? Is it growing? And then one day it starts to grow. We don't know how those things work. We just know they do, okay? I mean, we probably do scientifically, but I don't, and I don't want to know. All God needs from us is faith and obedience. He does the rest. He does the rest. And so the rest is done in his rest. And that is the season that we are in is going to be like no one other, because so many of us have tried to manipulate and work and do this and do that. And we say, yeah, we're in God and we're calling on his grace. But I'm going to tell you something. There is a pivotal point that's happening in the spirit where in him and through him and in his rest, it'll happen. And we're going to start to see the difference. You can tell when you're in your flesh, can't you? Don't you know when you're in your flesh? And even the Holy Spirit, he'll be so gently say, you know, hey, psst, remember me, come back. It's only been an hour, but hey, come back. You know, or it's been a week, it's been a month, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Any separation from him is not done by him. It's done by us, our flesh, moving faster than we should be moving. And so I am asking him to slow me down to the pace he wants me to walk in, sit in, and live in. Because it's not, if I was to measure it by the flesh, I am way out of kilter on that one. You know, because I was taught, get her done, work hard. And I'm not against working hard and getting it done. But I've done it in the spirit and I've done it in the flesh. And I'm going to tell you something. The spirit is a lot more pleasurable. And for those of you who have worked with me, and have worked with me in both spirit and flesh, you know I'm a lot more pleasurable when I'm in the spirit than in the flesh. In fact, I think my language is a little different too. You know, I'm a little harsher when I'm in the work mode and not in the spirit mode. And so, you know, can we live dual? Yeah, we can, but there's a better way. And like Kim was talking about, you know, stilling the mind down. It all starts with we have to subdue our flesh. Well, how do we do that? I only know one way, unfortunately, and it's by fasting. You know, that was the way that God got my attention. It might be different for somebody else, but in my way, when I was trying to listen to the voice of God and do what he said when he said to do it, it's a lot easier when I'm not stuffing my face with something delightful, okay? And what I mean by that is there's something about sharpening the edge in the spirit when you deny yourself food. Now, for me, it doesn't even matter if it's an ice cream cone or a steak. There's something about saying no to myself often. It builds up something inside me spiritually because I listen. I'm listening a little closer. Lord, shall I eat? Lord, should I eat that? Lord, oh no, don't go there. Okay. And so I'm relying on what the Holy Spirit is saying at the same time. So I'm exercising listening, discerning, and subduing. Does that make sense to you? Okay, did you have a question? I didn't mean to cut you off a while back. Or did you forget it?
No, it was a different example of what you're talking about. And I saw the contours of it and recognized it. And because you all know this person, I'll tell you who it was because it was about 20 years ago now. Even in intercessory circles, conversation over Joyce Meyer was breaking out. And I just went, this is not right.
Yeah.
You know, and I spoke to her faithfulness and the way that she had walked honorably and, hello, we all make mistakes. Is that what you're talking about? Because if that's it, that's not the deal. But I didn't have a sense that I have to speak about this. I just moved there with the Spirit, and it did diffuse it.
Yeah.
But if I had not spoken up, it would have just been boom, boom, ping pong all over the place. So I took that as a lesson for myself, too, and realized shortly after that she was making an advance in the spirit. And so that's one of the things you can recognize too. If there's somebody being talked about, the enemy may have a sense that something's happening. There's too much light here.
Right.
In here.
Yeah.
So it really helps all around the body and the person.
Amen.
That's good. Thank you. So if you think about it right now, the great one is tithing for today, you know. And right now, in the natural realm, I mean, inflation's pretty high out there, and they say times are hard, but I live in the kingdom of God, and I rely on a couple stories, and I visualize some of them. I love the Israelites when he led them out of Egypt. You know, they didn't have to go to the store for shoes. their clothes grew with them, you know, and they did grumble a little bit, but they got what they wanted. They got quail, and you know, I'm not going to go there because God did talk to me about the quail, you know, I think a year and a half ago. And so I think we're eating quail right now, not me, but some people are. And so here's the thing. Pay attention to the pattern. You know, Joyce Myers is a great example. You know, I bet you if we Googled her name, there's all kinds of weird stuff out there about her. But look at the fruit. Pay attention to the fruit of the minister and the ministry. And here's how God works. Hold on. Here's how God works. If you're in sin, public ministry, and you're in sin, Holy Spirit will start to convict you quietly and gently. And he might give you dreams. And you can justify and excuse away your behavior, and then it'll get a little intense, more intense. And maybe he'll send a prophet and say, blah, 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 I saw you last night at 3:00 in the morning, and this is what the Lord says. He will never embarrass a person who's publicly representing him without trying to get their heart to turn to him in the secret, quiet place. So recognize that. And we've seen that happen. We've seen great people raise the dead, and the next thing you know, there's scandal, scandal, scandal. Why is that? Did the enemy take them out, or did they have open doors, and the Lord tried to get them to deal with the issues of their heart, and they just could not? Now, I don't condemn any of them, because I just say, Lord, help me. You know, show me what's up, please. You know, I don't want to embarrass him in any way. Any time. And do I? I probably do, you know, but thank you for your grace, Lord. I mean, I say stuff that sometimes I wonder, gosh, where'd that come from? You know, I didn't even know I knew that word, you know, and you think stuff like that. But I don't look back and I don't beat myself up. I take it to him and I say, how'd we do? How'd it go tonight? Did everybody receive what you had for them? Or did I say too much about this certain topic, and did it cause people to possibly stumble, or you know, or is it drawing them closer to you? See, we have to measure what we do in the private time with him. If you're publicly giving words, especially prophecy, and we're seeing this, and so you're going to hear me talking about it more and more because we're seeing, it's like a separation. You know, are you prophesying to be seen of man? Are you prophesying because you have a need that needs to get met? Or did God give you a word? And you kind of don't even want to share it because you don't really care, but he wants his people healed, so you share it. You know, where's the heart? And then even if it is you don't want to share it, then did you disobey? You know, because you held the word. I've had that happen. I've had it happen. It's horrible. You call yourself a Christian, the enemy, you know, tries to beat you up afterwards. And then when you go to deliver that word 3 days later, when you finally crawl out of the hole and you deliver the word, it's a moldy word and it's got no punch anymore. You know, and it's like, oh, I blew it, Lord. I'm so sorry. Here's the thing. I blew it, Lord. I am so sorry. Are we staying that? Just saying. I know some of you are struggling with drinking, drugging. You know, listen. He knows. Go to him and get the plan. And really, the plan is spend more time in him, and stuff kinds of falls off. You know, it's the easier way of deliverance. You know, you cry out, get delivered, and then go help other people get delivered. Amen. And you do it by showing the love of Christ. Yeah. How's that? What else? So measure the words of prophecy. Listen, I talked about this before. If you're receiving a prophetic word, pay attention what's going on in the spirit. Do you feel like it's a word from God straight from the throne, or do you feel like it's a word coming from the head of the person delivering it? And now it could be from the Lord, but maybe they're developing their gift, so they're still trying to work it out and get it to come out correctly. Grace, 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 right? So encourage and wait, but also, Lord, is that you? And if it's not, this is what I do, the blood of Jesus. I break those words in the name of Jesus. Because sometimes people prophesy witchcraft designed to cause you to stumble or delay. Don't forget, there are devils, there are witches, you know, that are assigned to take out callings, destinies, purpose. Have you ever been used by the enemy to speak a word that was not edifying and actually was destructive? I have. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I just said that. I am so sorry. And I, you know, and doesn't the enemy know which button to push? You know, it's like all of a sudden you're saying, and you're like, whoa. Listen, let's not cover that up, and let's just cover it up with the blood of Jesus and say, you know, the blood of Jesus over that word. Lord, I am so sorry. I break those words right now. That's not you. You don't talk like that. You say, and then you say what he says. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm created in your image, or whatever it is. And so I'm saying that because I want you, some people are emotionally needy, okay? We're going to deal with the emotionally needy people. Okay, you need to be said hello to, or you feel like you're not loved, or you need to be recognized when you come in the room, or you feel like you're less important. I want to tell you something. That's not true. You are created in the image of God. Okay, so your attagirl, attaboy comes from him in creation. And if you're seeking that, there could be an emotional wounding in your soul that needs healing. And that's okay. Let's deal with that. Why is it that I feel like I have to, you know, be said hi to five times, or I feel terrible when I leave the meeting? You know, whatever it is. Or I'm being silly, but am I? You know, I'm just saying it, you know. Why do I feel like nobody likes me? Why do I feel so alone? Why do I always feel like I'm in the same place? I'm stuck. I'm not growing spiritually. Why is it that everybody else can get this, but I seem to struggle? Okay, let's talk about that. First of all, I. All the focus on you could be part of the problem. Sometimes just magnifying Jesus Christ and his goodness is all it takes to get your heads out of that cloud of destruction. Sometimes we believe lies because they're called little fiery darts. And Ephesians talks about quenching the fiery darts. You know, think about a match. You know, I like to just do that. I do. How you doing? So, we have to take our thoughts captive. They have to line up with what the word says. And if you're struggling with low self-esteem or no self-esteem or poor me or why me, there's some great scriptures that you can start speaking. And what happens is it's like an example I'm seeing is like a flat tire. And then all of a sudden you speak the word of God and it's like pumping up the tire. And so pretty soon you're not thumping. You're like rolling in God. And so it's really, you just believe the lie and you replace the lie with the truth. Does that make sense? Okay, so what are we going to do when somebody prophesies over us? Check in with God. Then we're going to say, is that you? And it should edify. You should already know this through him. Like if somebody's saying, you know, you're going to get married and have 50 kids. You know, God should have already been speaking to you about being married and 50 kids. He's stumbling here.
I actually, like what I was, like, old BC days, I had a dream. Well, it was an actual vision of all these kids and a wife, and I'm thinking, there's no way in hell. There's nobody wants to be with me at all, and how am I going to have all these kids? The two I got don't even like me. So, I was like, but there was like bunches and bunches of kids, and I was like, wow. And then I just, 20 years later, there they all are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was them. Man, I didn't know a clue about it. Nothing. It just gave me a vision of it.
And you know what I'm hearing right now? A father to the fatherless. You have more kids out there than you've met yet. Now, that word went in. And it bears witness, doesn't it? Yeah. Now, if I would have said, and I'm seeing that you're going to wear a pink hat, you know, you'd be like, pink hat, okay.
Is that you?
Yeah, is that you, Lord? You know, it doesn't bear witness. See the difference?
Yeah.
And so, but here's one. Your wife is going to love you so much. When you get home, she's going to be so happy that you were at the service tonight, and it's going to be a great night.
Amen.
Word of flesh. Word of flesh. Emotional word. Do you feel the difference, see the difference, and understand the difference? Thanks, John. Where's she at?
She's catching frogs.
Oh. Hallelujah. Yeah. Go ahead, Kimmy.
I have a question, but you actually just spoke to the question. So you just said something about your wife tonight, whatever. It spoke to the emotions. Well, I'll just give an example of myself. If I'm a really emotionally broken person and very needy, and I say I want a husband really bad.
Yeah.
And someone comes up to me and says, you know, oh, blah, 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 about marriage and something. And because I'm broken, I think it's the Lord. Well, how do you deal with that?
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a really good one. And so, and we see that a lot, believe it or not. We see that a lot. And what is it about, you know, the enemy targeting women? And I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but, you know, the enemy knows vulnerabilities, both in men and in women. And oftentimes he will use people to prophesy a word, but it's done in the soulish realm where there is no power, but he's speaking it in hopes that it'll connect. And really what happens is there's actually a soul tie that connects at that moment in the spirit between that prophesying person and the person receiving, because it's an emotionally entangled mess.
It's an agreement,
yeah. Because the one person's like, oh, yes, yes, I want to be married. And it's just a common thing. And the other one is, you're called to the nations. You know, very common. They're not measurable words. Words of knowledge and prophecy, can we grow in these instead of, you know, I see you just being fruitful and multiplying? Okay. Business, you know, which part? What do you mean? And so, I don't know why people need to feel like they're supposed to prophesy. I don't know why, because we got the Holy Ghost, okay? Now, we should be asking him the questions, and we should have dialogue like we're having in here. He should be telling us, and then sometimes if we're like hard-headed or not wanting to hear the word, then he may use somebody and say, hey, I hear you're going to start a business. The Lord said it has to do with houses or cars or trucks or, you know. And then you're like, he is talking to me about that. I better deal with it. It's not meant to go, oh, it's meant to, oh, I'm coming back to you. We've got some talking to do. And then you get your notebook out and you start talking to the Lord. Here's one. I've seen this happen lots of times, unfortunately. You know, somebody will be prophesying a word, and it's not to the person that it goes to. Somebody else takes the word. Like, here's one. Okay. Somebody in here is going to get a new car. I see the car. Well, if you need a car, I'm claiming that word. I'll take that. I believe for that. And there's nothing wrong with that if you're believing for that already. But what if I see somebody in here who is going to take up art teaching. And you're like, oh, I always wanted to be an art teacher. I'll take that word. Do you see the difference? I'm going real, I'm calling it lame on these words because I don't want to call it out because some of them, you know, professions, I see that a lot where, and just not so happy in this profession, so I'm taking that one, you know. If God gave you an assignment, it's up to you and him to fulfill it before he abandons ship, so to speak, where you start going to college for 6 more years to take up something else. You know what I mean? Like, fulfill the mission that he's given you before you jump ship on it, whether it's raising a family or starting a business or whatever it is. Does that make sense? Did you have a question? Yes, yes?
Am I to understand that not every word of encouragement is from God?
Yes.
That just because it's an encouragement to us, may it just be the devil trying to lead us down a road to discourage us at the end of it? That's what I...
No, it could just be a kind word, but it's not from the Lord. It could be not even a kind word, but it...
Wasn't tell the butterfly, is it? Because that was a kind word.
Okay. So many years ago, the Lord was teaching me not to move without asking permission. And it was a service, and Holly was out of town, and I'm sitting there, and somebody said, "Holly's out of town, let's prophesy. Let's get a line and prophesy," or something like that. And I jumped up before asking the Lord if I should pray for people. And so rule number one is I didn't ask. I'm standing up here, but days before, he was talking to me about emotional prophecy, and I was asking him, how does that even work? Why would people do that? And because why? I don't get it. You know, I don't get it. And so he caused me to be in the wrong place at the right time. And what I mean by that is this girl, she stood up, and another girl came up for prayer, and she says, "I see beautiful butterflies." And the lady had butterflies on her shirt, okay? And so I'm looking at her shirt, and I'm going, and I'm steaming on the inside because I'm like, how did I get myself in this mess? And the Lord's like, you didn't ask. And I still do that, okay? There are still times when I go, Lord, how did I miss this so bad? He's like, you didn't ask me. I'm like, you're right. I'm sorry. So that's how it happened. What happened was she's like, the lady likes butterflies, okay? And so she's seeing beautiful butterflies. And I'm like, and they're like, and they're crying each other. They're crying. And I'm like, good Lord, what is, you know, you could have thrown a bucket of ice water on me and I would have been less moved. And I was like, but the Lord was showing me. I'm like, Lord, he's like, watch, you asked, you wanted to know about emotional prophecy. Here we go. So it wasn't a bad word. She was going to see beautiful butterflies, and there was more to it, but I don't remember it, but it had to do with something that was nothing. And so did that encourage her emotionally? Sure it did. Did she cry? Absolutely. Was she blessed by it? Emotionally she was, but was there any spiritual significance to it? None. Does that make sense? Now, did the enemy do something? I don't think so. I think it was just one emotional, ooh, to another, ooh, that's really all it was. But here's another weird thing. Do you remember the day when I had to give you the word about butterflies? Was it butterflies?
Yes.
God's funny. So I'm like, you know, you don't forget certain things that, when you're in training, I mean, it's like. So I'm praying for Mary, and I see butterflies coming up. And I'm like, the blood of Jesus. Because I'm like, that can't be the Lord. Yeah, because I'm praying, because I'm like, I don't want to be deceived. I'm like, the blood of Jesus. And she's probably thinking, oh, there's a demon. I'm like, no, I'm seeing butterflies. And finally I just say, I'm seeing butterflies. And I think she starts crying. I'm like, does that bear witness?
I was crying so much. It was going on her arm, and I know she's a ick. I know. I'm like, I can't help myself.
Yeah. So,
I'll tell you the end of that.
Go ahead.
So I was reading a book about, you know, how they say when a butterfly flaps its wings, it will do a tornado on the other side of the world because it changes, it will move the atmosphere and it will cause the cause an effect. Yeah, so she didn't know I was reading this book. And I was crying out to God, am I doing enough? Am I touching enough people? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? And I had this heart's cry, and I did not tell her that I'm having the struggle, and it was really a huge struggle internally because the devil was lying to me. And when she said that, I'm like, he answered me just like that. I see butterflies because it was about the butterfly. And she's like, I'm not seeing one. I'm saying, do I just touch one person, my family, is that all? And then she said, I keep seeing these butterflies. The more she talked, the more I cried because it was like the Lord touching me and answering my question and my heart's cry. So it was good.
So my flesh would have never said, I see butterflies. I think that's a stupid word. Because I saw that stupid word released. So see how the enemy tried to stop me from releasing a word of God. And so what I did was, the blood of Jesus, you know, is that me? And then I saw him again, and I'm like, the blood of Jesus. And I'm not getting anything but the butterflies coming up. And so I'm like, I see butterflies. You know, so, I mean, we can't, that's the thing about God is we can't, like Mary said, you know, it doesn't work. What we do today will not work tomorrow, and what tomorrow is not going to work the next day, because he's not like that. He's no box. So did that help you with your question? Okay. Anybody else have anything tonight? Yes.
When you said that the devil was trying to keep people from tithing or confusing the issue of tithing, you can judge this word, but one of the words that dropped in my head, he's strategy to provide lack for Christians later because you're not sowing out your seeds.
Mm. Here's the thing. There is no lack in the kingdom of God. If we trust him, he will always provide. And he's shown us over and over and over. And what happens is the enemy will, well, it's getting bad out there. You know, store an extra something. You know, somebody may need it. Listen, be led. Give when he says to give and give what he says to give. You can never outgive God. And remember, Isaac sowed in the year of famine. And he reaped, what was it? Yeah. Hundredfold? Thousand? It was like a lot fold. In the same year. So I'm not setting up, I'm not believing for lack in any area in my life, but I'm also not sitting still. And if he says do something, I'm doing it. And I don't like analyze it and think it through and pencil it out. I'm like, are you sure? Yes, okay. And what if I blew it? What if I gave too much? You can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. But be careful of manipulation. There's a lot of manipulation in the body of Christ. I'm just saying it. You know, I remember when the Lord taught me about the soil and soil conditions and ministries, you know, and there is heavenly prospectus, just like there is, you know, like the ones you get in the natural from your stock companies and all that. You know, you look at their portfolio. Listen, the heavenly one is better. My retirement account is him. I'm retiring into him, okay? So there's not going to be, he just takes me home in him. You know, he provides now for me all the time, and I expect him to. But I also will do what he says when he says to do it. And if I delay, it's only out of ignorance, and then I repent, and then here I am, show me. Sorry. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. I think we covered a lot of ground tonight. All right. And no more questions? We're good? Go ahead. Yeah.
So when we were worshiping, you know, how God shows you things sometimes when you're worshiping. This is what I wrote during worship. That I saw a casket, and quite a few people have passed away in the past recent years, that like three brothers of mine and a boyfriend, quite a few years back. But anyway, I saw a casket. And it flew open, and butterflies flew up.
Oh, wow.
Wow. I wrote it in big letters, and butterflies.
Wow.
He's good. He really is.
Because she shared that, I'm going to share one more thing. Last year before Colorado, I kept seeing real butterflies. But my mind didn't catch up. That's so cool. God, you're showing me butterflies. They're pretty. I like them. And it was like he kept trying to show me, you know. I just kept seeing my old bound self, and he kept showing me the butterflies. And I finally realized that he'd been showing me butterflies for months after Colorado. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
There's a freedom. There's a beauty. There's a process. There's a transformation. There's a... metamorphosis. And, anyway, the mountain.